healed and delivered from all the evil works of the enemy. This is what you need to be secure in. This is what the saints of God need to turn back to. You know, he said these people will be traitors in the last days. He said there'll be traitors, headed, high-minded, you know, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Listen to this. They'll have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And Paul says, from such, turn away. This is where we got the title of our lesson from. You know, that people are having a form of godliness. They go and you can't tell them from the church folks. They sit right up there by real church people. And you think everybody is, that's why everybody think they're Christian. But everybody is not a Christian. If you're not Christ-like in your house, in your home, on the road, when you go to visit, in the church, in the plains of Africa, I don't care where you are. If you're not the church there, if you're not acting Christ-like, you're not a Christian.
So this is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree,
died to save man. The tree.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
But I want to speak from Proverbs 14 and 12. Proverbs 14 and 12. Turn there if you will. I have another message for you. Proverbs 14 and 12. Do you have it? Say amen.
Amen.
Let's read now. All right, now turn to Proverbs 16 and 25. 16 and 25, quickly, quickly, quickly. 16 and 25. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Would you read it again? All right, now do me one more favor. Turn back to Proverbs 14 and 12. 14 and 12. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Read it. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I want you to notice the subtle difference. Were you able to see it in Proverbs 16 and 25 verses Proverbs 14 and 12? The fifth word in 14 and 12 is which? The fifth word in 16 and 25 is that. Both of those words are pronouns. That speaks of that which happened before. So the Bible says there is a way that. So that has reference to that way. All right, in Proverbs 14 and 12, it says, there is a way which speaks of the way, but it adds additional information to it. So when you say that which, you're talking about that has happened, but there's some additional information that is given to bring more light to the subject. Now, here's what I need you to see, that the focus in 16 and 25 had to do with the way. There is a way. Everybody say way. So the emphasis here, the focus here, was on the way, knowing the right way, going the right way, taking the right way. It had to do with directions, and the end result had to do with destination. Now, in both the 14th chapter and the 16th chapter, the wisest man, save Jesus, that ever lived, Solomon, is talking about fools and wise men and the decisions that they make, and that comes from the heart and how it leads them either into blessings or into burdens, how it leads them into righteousness or wrongdoings. And so here what I need you to understand is, when in the 14th chapter of Proverbs, when it says there is a way which, the focus is not on the way now, but the focus, adding additional information to it, is which seemeth right. Which seemeth right. So now listen, I need you to know our focus today is not so much going to be on the way, which we spoke about this morning, that had to do with directions and destinations. And it had to deal with the direct route, that the detailed route, and the difference between the two of them. Because details. It is the focus here on the fact that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So this has to do with decision and death, or deceitfulness more appropriately, and death. Well, listen, because Solomon is saying to us, which seemeth right to a man, suggests to us that there is something that is suspect about the man's decision, about his way, about his choices. And he's speaking about mostly foolish folk who think in and of themselves that they can make foolish choices and still end up at a right destination. If you are going to live out the destiny that God has provided for you, that God has purposed for you, then you're going to have to follow God's way. But here Solomon seems to address this issue by saying to us that some of us have made adjustments to God's way and have decided to do it our own way. I need somebody to know today that God knows the way. Not only does God know the way, but he is the way. and anything and anyone and any way beside him is wrong. But what we miss is the fact that in our own hearts and in our own minds, we're deceived by ourselves. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the heart is deceitful above what? All things. Wow. The heart is deceitful above all things. In other words, when you say, my heart told me so, for many of us who don't know God is the last word, not your heart, your heart can lead you to some mighty messed up places. Any witnesses in the house, anybody's heart has ever led them down some lonely roads. Anybody's heart has ever led them to heartbreak. Anybody's heart has led them to make some of the worst decisions in their lives. And here is the messed up thing about it. We thought we were right. Am I talking to anybody in the house? Or are you still so messed up you can't say amen? The heart is deceitful above, meaning there is nothing else that's more deceptive than your heart. That's why you have to guard your heart, because from your heart flows the issues of life. And so, my brothers and sisters, the inference here deals with deceit that seemeth right, that has the appearance of, that looks like, that feels right, that makes you think it is right. Can I go back to some of my old standby songs? If loving you is wrong, don't act like you don't know your hymns. Somebody gonna catch that. I don't wanna be what? Well, now, if that's not a fool, tell me what is. Listen. You've got folk who trust their feelings more than they trust their Father, their Heavenly Father. And He tells us what is right. He shows us what is right. He directs us in what is right. He instructs us in what is right. There is no need to guess what is right. A way that seemeth right unto a man, because it is not right to God when it is separate and apart from God. You see, when it's separate and apart from God, both your decisions and you, that's isolation. That's isolation. You are isolated from God. You're not getting any information from God when you are isolated from Him to make a right decision. It means you've trusted the devil. Wicked above, just like deceitful above all things, it's wicked as well. Deceit is wickedness. Desperately wicked. deceitful above and desperately wicked is a deadly combination. And that's what we don't realize that happens with us leaving out God or isolating ourselves from God. And therefore, in our own minds, in our own hearts, in our own thoughts, we think the stuff that feels good to us, that looks good to us, that we determine that's good to us, is the right way. Seemeth right. The just way, the proper way, the godly way is the way that God wants his children to go. So what decisions are we making to end up in the end being in the right place where God would want us to be when death comes? My old preacher used to say, whatever you're doing when death comes, whatever you're doing when Jesus comes, keep on doing it, because it'll be too late to change. If you're not doing right, listen, when he comes, it's too late to change. That's why he expects us to live right now. That's why he expects us to be right now. That's why he expects us to live right now. All believers should be living to live again. And therefore, it means if you're not going to make sacrifices down here, if you're not going to do what's right down here, tell me, when are you going to do it? If you're not going to follow the right way here, the way which seemeth right, the focus is on seemeth right. Are you being deceived, or are you making a solid decision to follow he who is the way? And that is Jesus the Christ. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. If it's your own understanding that has gotten you in this mess, what makes you think it's your own understanding that's going to get you out of this mess? If it's the friends you hang out with that's got you hung up, what can the friends that got you hung up do to get you unhung? That's why Psalm 1:1 say, blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the what? Why walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly? Well, here's one helpful holy hint. Because the counsel is ungodly. Well, you don't wash clean clothes in dirty water. And why would you put clean clothes in dirty water in the first place? You want to get clothes clean that are dirty, but you've got to have all that's necessary to clean them. And dirty and evil and wicked and ungodly counsel will never get your spirit nor your soul clean. Only the pure, unadulterated word of God will. And the people here need to focus on the right way, the righteous way, the godly way. Because unless we focus on God's way, the end result will be hell and damnation. Death, hell and damnation. For the end thereof are the ways of death. The ways don't change of death, because there are multiple ways of dying. But here's what most of us need to recognize, that we have such a faithful God who allows us, as we are in that phase, and we're talking about the unrighteous man before God. God is long-suffering and patient to the point where he gives them time to turn around. He gives them time to change their mind. That's right, the old folk used to say, tarry. He holds up judgment until you have another chance to get it right. Why? Because he desires that no man perish. He wants every man on planet Earth, every woman, every girl, every boy to be saved. And so he gives them as much time as his will allow. Because God doesn't execute judgment immediately, doesn't mean he doesn't see you. Doesn't mean that God condones what you're doing or accepts what you're doing. What he's doing is giving you time to get right. To get right. So many times as a young pastor, there were some people in my previous ministry as well as this ministry who loved the Lord with all their heart, who lived for the Lord daily, who walked, talked, demonstrated, executed the righteousness of God in their lives. And no matter at what age, and especially if it happened to be much younger than 70 years old that they died, it brought questions of why God at such an early age that you take him or her. And I really never got the confirmation of that, even though I knew it in my spirit, that God, again, only the pure in heart shall see God. I knew what the word said and all that about it. But it wasn't until I heard Richard White, Mr. Clean, say about when he was preaching out of town and his wife called him and told him four of his good members had been killed in a car accident. And he said he wasn't talking about good members just because they paid tithe or because they did that, but he's talking about sweet members, real members, pure members. I mean, the kind of members that the Lord loved. And he said, God, why did you take my best members? My best members, God. You know, he said he had some others. He could have recommended to God. He told Mr. Clean, he said, Clean, first of all, they weren't your members. They were my members. And second of all, I took them because they were ready. And I'm giving the others time to get right. And my brothers and sisters, how true is that for the God we serve, who is married to the backslider, who says that he does not want anyone to perish, that he is long-suffering because every sin that we sin, whether you know it or not, is against God. That's why David said in that 51st Psalm, against thee, fourth verse, and thee only have I sinned. Now, I might have sinned with her, speaking about Bathsheba, but I sinned against you.
Yes, Lord.
Are y'all hearing this? You either sin by yourself or you sin with others, but every sin that sin is sinned against God. And God hates sin. His problem is he's in love with the sinner. And so he gives all of us another chance to repent and get it right. Not that seemeth right. We're not talking about fool's gold here. You've heard the saying, fool's gold. You've heard everything that shine ain't gold. You've heard all those. He's talking about real, pure, true righteousness. Only the pure in heart shall see God. What's in your heart? How real is your heart? How true is your heart? See, because what you don't know is David said, God, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. But then there's something else he goes on to say. That God wants truth also in those hidden parts. Now, you know, all of us have hearts and hidden parts in the heart. You know, it may be a console, it may be a glove compartment, it might be a secret part, hat, you know, patch. But here's what we need to know. It's that part where we think nobody else knows and nobody else goes. Our secret place may not be the secret place of God. I go to my secret place. And a lot of times when we go to our secret place, it's the sin. I stumbled on a photograph. Look at this devil here. Boy, and your mind goes to wondering. Back. And before you know it, your heart has taken you to that place that you did not clean out. And see, the Holy Spirit can help you because he knows where that hidden part is, where the secret part is that's not like God. And I got news for you. God wants your whole heart. He wants no part hidden from him. So when you get it straight, listen, then you can ask the Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Within me. And my brothers and sisters, that has to do with the righteousness of God, not that seemeth right unto a man, but that is right, because it is the word, the will, and the way of God that we hold dearly in our hearts. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why, David? That I might not sin against thee.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B